o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. And as much as I would love to continue taking your calls, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports.
Scoop the spoon. Scoop the spoon.
Ruh-roh. Zach Tom doesn't have like a strained or stretched or bruised or I don't know what happens to obliques, but apparently they tear. Not great, Bob. Zach Tom, per Tom Silverstein, if you remember, he went flying over Jordan Love when Aiden Hutchinson kind of cheap shotted him during that return of the interception by Brian Branch. That would have been a pick six, but it was wiped out anyway by a holding penalty on the defense to begin with. He reports that Zach Tom has a torn oblique muscle. And he further reports, as I'm reading here on PackersNews.com, Tom worked out early in the day on September 11th, which was yesterday, but said he just couldn't run without pain and thus couldn't play in that night's game against the Washington Commanders. I don't have a lot of experience with a torn oblique. If you gave me that Slim Goodbody guy where he's, you know, he's standing there and he's got his head turned, the Seinfeld bit about that guy. I don't know exactly where the oblique is. Is it in the hip region? All I know is if it's torn, is it in the stomach region? Is it in your side? I'm not a doctor.
Is an oblique not like where your love, where our love handles are? Isn't that the oblique?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
He's got a torn love handle?
Like all of us have a little bit of, you know, pudding down around that hip, right? We all have a little, I have more than you guys, but we all got a little pudding, right? And when you have that, you know, they always used to say you can't pull fat. I had a lot of issues injury-wise. I never had an oblique. I always had a little pudding. Zach Tom's
pretty
yoked.
Would you please stop saying pudding?
Please say it more.
What's wrong with pudding? It gives you a picture. So I don't know. I believe that's the oblique, because if you do like oblique crunches, you're always like going, you know, it's the side.
Okay.
Baseball players have that happen a lot.
Right.
Because of the torque and everything else.
Yes, exactly.
So it's something, unfortunately, you can play through a lot of stuff. Pulled muscles and it depends on the degree. Offensive lineman, man, that's where your torque, you know, hips and back and the obliques and your core
and
are such a critical part to what you're doing. If you have that thing, if that thing is in bad shape, you got to get that thing strengthened back up because, unfortunately, those things re-injure themselves pretty regularly. So you have to take a beat and make sure that it gets healed properly so you don't have issues reoccurring as the season goes on.
All right, so I don't know how long that means he's going to be out, right? They got 10 days before their next game. I think I would be surprised, based on Spoon's reporting, that he would be back for Cleveland. I think there's probably, again, guessing based on how serious this at least sounds in Spoon's article this morning, I'm guessing he probably misses the next two, and then they have the bye week, and then you hope you get him back after that. That would be my
educated
guess.
Idea.
Right.
There you go. Yep.
Right. Agree. Why Belton over Darian Kennard? I feel like in our conversations throughout the preseason, and look, he's a second-round pick. You expect second-round picks to be productive and contributors, not necessarily immediately, but you traded a sixth-round pick to get Kennard for this exact situation, and instead they went with Belton, with no practices during the week either, by the way. And I thought in our conversations about him with Brian Bulaga, who knows a hell of a lot more about offensive line play than I do, he was inconsistent in the preseason. Were you surprised by that decision or no?
No. You act like Kennard is like Jonathan Ogden. We don't know anything about Kennard.
I definitely don't think he's Philly. Jonathan Ogden.
They traded him. You don't trade young star offensive linemen in this league. I don't care how good your group is. So to act as if this was going to be some – Belton knows the system better. He's been here longer. He has been inconsistent, but he's a second-round pick, man. He's young. This is the deal. And if you think Kennard can get, you know, up to speed and he is going to be a better pass protector than Belton against Cleveland, he'll play. And I think they rotated a little bit. They dabbled. I don't know what the official snap count ended up being last night for Belton and Kennard, but I think they dabbled a little bit. And I don't know why everybody is just crowning Kennard. He's got to go and earn it, and he's got to prove that he knows what
he's
doing.
I'm not crowning him.
What you just said there felt a little crowny. That's all.
I also understand the idea of you play the guy who's got more experience when the injury occurs during the game versus when you have a week to prepare a young player,
mm-hmm.
right? But again, I was surprised because they didn't have a week to prepare the young player. They had 3 days and no practices, just walkthroughs. The split on the offense, they had 68 offensive snaps.
That's a good number.
Darian Kennard played 17 and Anthony Belton played 51. So 75-25. Okay. Now, I asked Matt LaFleur about that after the game. He said originally the plan was to rotate them. Also, Anthony Belton had the holding penalty that wiped out the touchdown on which Jaden Reed broke his collarbone. And certainly we saw Matt LaFleur get after Anthony Belton a few times in preseason. But he said that they basically were planning on rotating him, and then they decided the second half just they were going to go with Belton the whole way. And I'm eager for Brian Bulaga to break down that and explain to me the good, the bad, the ugly of how he played. But I am definitely not putting Darian Kennard in the Pro Football Hall of Fame or even the Country Music Hall of Fame because he's related to Dolly Parton. I just thought that that was the way that they would go. And let's be honest, there have been times when they have made choices on the offensive line to play one person instead of the guy that you expected to be there, and it backfired on them. That was not the case last night. Anthony Belton clearly played well enough for them to be successful. So we played double trivia earlier in the week, so we wouldn't play trivia today. Is that what happened?
That is correct, yeah.
Savvy.
Jesse.
Planning ahead and having Hunter do the work. Well, then let's take a beat and have Tausch tell us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford, where your over on the Packers win total is looking pretty sweet.
We're looking really good. Jesse, can you fact check? I had a buddy of mine tell me yesterday that there is a opportunity if the Brewers – nobody has to win a championship. The Brewers make the World Series, not win it, make, and Green Bay makes the Super Bowl. The odds are unbelievable. So can you fact check and check that out? I want to just make sure before I say that. But the beautiful part is we can check that at the new Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, more than 1,300 slots, 50 live table games, a sports book that, boy, Jesse and I feel really good about what we did down there in May and June, baby, and a rock shop. And if you're hungry, diverse dining options at the Hard Rock Cafe, Council Oak Steaks and Seafood. You head down there on Wednesday. I heard there's a heck of a deal if you're a little bit on the older side. All kinds of great eating options at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Head on down there. It's a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois, about an hour from the greater Madison area.
I would be remiss.
I heard it was 1,300 to 1 is what I heard. You put $100, you get $13,000 is what I heard. I don't want to put that out there until Jesse fact checks it. That was what my buddy told me, and oh, baby. It seems crazy to me. Seems crazy.
Might have to make a ride down to Rockford to check that out.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yep.
Because let's be honest. You have to feel pretty dang good. Like, is it going to happen? Who knows? Feel a lot better about it today than we did 2 weeks ago. I can tell you that. No?
More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I would like to apologize for some of the confusion at the end of that previous segment. I was under the impression that the guy who goes to the little sports book inside of Hard Rock Casino Rockford would have the betting information as opposed to me, which is not my area of expertise.
You could just say guy, not little guy. It's okay.
No, I said the little sports book because you're not a little guy.
Felt the spirits there.
You were littler. Never mind.
God, you're a jerk.
You are what? A jerk.
You know what? Don't act all like you don't know what.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It appears after doing a little investigative research.
Thank you for your service.
Tausch may have been a little bit off with his.
No. It wasn't me. I told you my buddy told me this, and I thought it was crazy.
Shaggy.
I wanted to confirm.
Fred's report was a little off. Scoop-de-doo and Shaggy T got to the bottom of it. We pulled off
Come
the
on,
mask,
Scoob!
We said.
Oh, is Fred part of the Scooby train?
Yeah.
Yes, the blonde guy.
Fred, Velma, Daphne and Shaggy.
And you would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for this meddling producer.
I think, to me, that show goes Scooby, Van, and then people.
No, Shaggy before the van.
No, get the dog. Who's the dog?
I think Scooby was one of the worst parts of
Scooby-Doo.
Who's
the dog? What?
Scooby. You got Scooby and then, all right, and then Shaggy and then the van. All right, I'll give you that.
Then the gallery.
But the van, if you ask most people, they'll remember the van before
they
remember
wagon?
Thelma.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Before Thelma.
The mystery machine. Okay.
What do we think of the name Thelma?
Linda, I
like the name Thelma.
Linda Cardellini as Velma in the live-action film. Very well acted. Really enjoyed that. Okay. Her portrayal of Velma.
That was a terrible movie, great. Though.
It was not great. No, not
was
everything
it like
works.
Superman, like the new Superman.
Oh. God, I hope
you'll
that's
report
on the plane.
Back later today, right?
I hope you get to watch
Do
it.
We? I hope so.
And
Do we
I
agree that the name Thelma,
great.
Thelma's a great name? Do we agree on that?
Her name is Velma.
You do know it's not Thelma in Scooby-Doo.
But right? I like the name Thelma. Thelma. I think it's a great name. Thelma.
Tausch, how do you like the Badgers' chances in Tuscaloosa?
I like Thelma. I like the name Thelma. I think when I'm looking at this game, it's going to be a huge challenge. We saw with some of the shuffling of the offensive line, there's going to be obviously some concerns there. The running game has not been as good and as crisp as I think we'd hoped. But the reason I have hope going down there, our defense is really good. But we have not been tested in a way that Alabama will test us. So I am going down there with an open mind and an open heart. And I am just looking to see how our defense can handle what Alabama is going to have to offer. The Florida State game was, I think, encouraging. I don't look at last week as anything on their end. I think our defense has a chance to be really good, and we'll see how good when we get a look at it tomorrow, right about this time, as a matter of fact.
Clear eyes, open hearts, 21-point underdogs. It'll be interesting to see how the game plays out. Again, we all love Barry Alvarez around here. He was not quite accurate when he predicted that the Badgers would be favored in the game.
He was not. He did say, though, when I asked him about it on Monday night, he said it's more about how you feel leaving this game, which is kind of like what we said about the Packers preseason games. Like, it's not as much about what the final score is going to be. Obviously, if you're in contention in the fourth quarter, you're going to feel pretty good and you want to win the game. That's, you know, you want to do that.
Sure.
But how to measure where the team's at after this game will be more about how it feels as the game's going. If they're getting bullied around and pushed around, like, that'll be one story. But if they're competitive and Alabama has a couple of huge playmakers, Ryan Williams, their receiver, like, if they emerge in the fourth quarter and end up, you know, making a play to win it, you still feel good about what Wisconsin puts out there going into Big Ten play.
Sure. I would agree with everything you said there.
Hey, Jay Bert, how did Matt LaFleur feel about Jordan Love's scramble, shoulder lean, first down pickup?
Yet another question I would have liked to have asked him today.
The hell did you guys ask him about last night?
Man, your team's awesome.
Oh, you guys are really good.
Micah
right?
Parsons is so good.
How does Shaggy do it? How does Shaggy? Woof, 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 woof. Oh, you guys are good.
I have no idea what cartoon character that is.
What the hell questions are you asking LaFleur other than, oh, my God, Micah Parsons is really good, huh? Can you expand on that?
Let me rattle those off for you, and then we'll get into Wonelli coming up after this.
You don't need to, like, give me a dissertation.
No. Is the view pretty good from the cheap seats, AJ?
Oh, baby, you know it is. You've lived there. You know where those seats are. They're pretty.
Adjectives to describe the defense through two games. The offense went 90 yards plus twice for touchdowns. Why did you feel like throwing the ball downfield? Did you feel like that led to a little feast or famine offensively? You took a lot of shots today compared to Sunday. Was that game plan specific? That was my question. What was the thought process on starting Belton? Were you supposed to rotate or did you bench him shortly for the penalty? They were supposed
Tucker
to rotate.
Tucker Kraft, greatest tight end in the league or just the best?
Long-winded question about the defense and Halfley, not from me. Your run game is not very productive. What's the problem?
Okay.
The best question that I heard went from Andy Herman, who asked about this whole, because you mentioned this yesterday, so you, I think, will really like this too, about the muddle rushing against mobile quarterbacks last year to just getting after Jaden Daniels yesterday. Tucker Kraft is awesome. That was one of the questions. And then getting the Jaden Reed information was also an important piece of our conversation with him. Okay. So, no, we never got to lowering the shoulder. I'll be honest with you, I should have asked Love about that.
I loved it.
Yeah, you love that. Love that until he separates his freaking throwing shoulder, and then you don't love
it quite
as much.
What do you want him to do, though? Third and seven, you got to go get it. It's early in the game. This isn't the end of a game.
I wasn't criticizing him. I'm just saying you love it because there was no bad result caused by it. But you're not sitting here today going, oh, yeah, sure. He tore his labrum in his throwing shoulder by lowering the boom. But, hey, myself and the guy from Kyle Brandt with the angry run stuff he does, I loved it anyway. He's out for a month, but that was awesome. It's only awesome because he didn't get hurt.
Well, you got to play football. That was a football play.
It was.
That was a football play.
And by the way, for a guy who said he needed to run more, not just extend plays to make plays with his arm, but to actually run more. Jordan Love, through two games, has rushed for a grand total of 16 yards. So he is averaging 8 yards per game. That puts him on pace for 136 rushing yards this season, which will be, if my math is correct, nearly double what he had last year. When he didn't
I'll
even get to
100. More on that. I think he'll have more.
I think he will too.
Year.
I would agree. And if his feet hadn't slipped out from under himself on Sunday, he would have had a big game there too. All right. Geriad in Canton, Ohio. What an odd mix of Mickey Mouse and Scooby-Doo by Old T. Add it to the resume. Yes, along with the Irish Pirate, another combination voice that Tausch does so well. One thing Tausch does do well is drink Coors Light.
Yeah, whether you're tailgating pregame or enjoying the experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game. Hopefully we'll be doing that tomorrow on our way back from Tuscaloosa. Crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Coors Light, refreshingly cold and only 102 calories. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Whoa, Nelly, and our Cousin Subs gift card winner from trivia this week will be drawn as well. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Before we get to Whoa Nelly, we need to draw this week's winner. Winner of a Cousin Subs gift card from trivia.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
Yeah, no trivia today. Cleared the schedule to react to the Packers game.
What a pro.
All five.
What a pro.
And a lot of chips in
here. Two reaction shows this week already.
Big week for us. Big week. A lot of chips in the cheese fry helmet for our Cousin Subs gift card this week. Five contestants eligible to win. Congratulations to Jeff in Monroe. One of the two Wisconsin Geography Wednesday contestants that we had as part of our double trivia week. Congratulations, Jeff. You win the Cousin Subs gift card this week.
Quick question before we get to Whoa Nelly. You guys are both residents of the greater Sun Prairie Metroplex. I like to read a lot of news stories. Not all of them are big breaking news, like Tom Silverstein with the torn oblique. Torn puddin' that Zach Tom is dealing with. There's apparently a cat cafe in Sun Prairie called the Cat's Brew. I don't know if they serve ice cream.
Yeah, it's pretty close to my house. Yeah.
But they're celebrating, according to Channel3000.com, their one-year anniversary. So you go there and you drink coffee and, like, cats come around and come, like, sit by you and stuff?
Yes.
And then you can adopt them?
That I don't know.
Do I have enough cats to open my own?
You could probably open a, if they are looking to franchise, you could be a location that they would have.
I was just curious. Yeah. All right. Now time for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Siraco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Our friend Michelle Smallman of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio is living a Wisconsin dream this week. Shows up, does Unsportsmanlike yesterday. They take a trip up to Lambeau Field, take in Packers Commanders in a great environment that has Chris Canty falling in love with the Green Bay Packers, too, I heard this morning.
Mm.
They do their show this morning, and then Michelle Smallman, who grew up in St. Louis, gets to throw out the ceremonial first pitch before the St. Louis Cardinals-Milwaukee Brewers game tonight at American Family Field.
gotta be honest. That's great for her, and she's a prominent voice.
She wearing a Cardinals jersey?
I wouldn't imagine so. I don't think she would.
She loves the Cardinals. She'll get booed. Can't go out there wearing a Cardinals.
Are you
jersey?
Advocating that the fans boo Michelle Smallman when she goes out?
If
to throw
she
the
wears
first
a
pitch?
Cardinals jersey, yes.
Well, I doubt she's gonna wear a Cardinals jersey if she's throwing out the first pitch at a Brewers game.
I would doubt it too, but don't you kind of have to?
I don't know. I get the impression that they'll let just about anyone throw out a first pitch these days.
That's what I've heard.
Huh?
Whoa, if you're a Cardinals fan. Like she is. The Brewers invite you. Have the Cardinals invited her to throw out a first pitch?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'd have to ask her.
So my question is, at some point, you have embraced the Green Bay Packers as your team, and it's gone swimmingly. At some point, do you just abandon the whole ship and come on over?
Wow.
Hey, water's warm. Come on, Michelle. Brewers invited you. You'd be bold. Rock the Brewers jersey. Go out there and fire out that first pitch.
All right. So I, in an effort
it's
to be
true, it's a tough call.
Yeah,
it's tough
to be true to yourself. If you're truly a dyed-in-the-wool Cardinals fan,
and I believe she is.
I kind of feel like you have to. If you're gonna do this, you gotta go and you gotta get. You got to get booed. You got to take it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like in Invincible when Vince Papale's girlfriend comes in wearing the Giants T-shirt and all the fans at the vet are yelling at her.
Yeah,
really good
seen
movie,
that,
by the way. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
It's not the celebratory nature I expected to be from sharing that news with you
guys. Well, Tausch makes a great point. She's a St. Louis native.
She's a Cardinals,
diehard fan.
She loves the Cardinals. They're playing the Brewers.
Yeah.
And the Brewers. They're playing the Brewers tonight, right,
Jesse?
That
is correct, yes. Yeah.
It's on. That's where you should plug that it's on.
7:10 first pitch on 620 WTMJ. It's actually tonight in Madison on 1670 The Zone because we'll have Badger volleyball top 25 matchup against Georgia Tech on 100.5 ESPN.
Oh, Jesse's weekend. No going up north. Oh, boy's got that volleyball to do. That's funny, too, to me. I get a kick out of that. But I digress. She's got to do it. I can assure you of this. If the San Diego Padres invite me out to Petco Field when the Brewers are playing, they say, "Old T, love what you've been doing on Lord knows what. Come on out, throw out the first pitch."
On Lord knows
I ain't rocking a Padres jersey. I'm going to wear something Brewers, or I'm not going to do it. That I know.
Sounds like a feel-good Friday to me. We will wrap up the week and wrap up the show with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Born and raised under the rain.
We close out the show and close out the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. And while we talked about it a little bit earlier in the week about our good friend Matt LePay going into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, we were unable to get that guy who did the introduction. His name's Andrew Cohen, by the way. But we've got Barry Alvarez talking about Matt LePay instead with Jesse Nelson and the boys. Earlier this week, here is the coach.
About Matt LePay. I think Matt came in about the same time I did.
Yeah.
And
or shortly after.
But first of all, he does – you can go around the country. He's been offered jobs around the country for a number of different sports, pro and college. He loves it here. His wife loves it here. We have been very fortunate to keep Matt. There is no other voice of play-by-play guy than Matt LePay, and we are so fortunate to have him here, and particularly for the length of time that we've had him here. But he's the best, and no one deserves that honor more than him.
And someday, 40 years from now, Chris McIntosh will be retired, and he'll be saying that about Jesse Nelson and his lengthy run as the voice of the Badgers after inheriting the job from his dad when he finally retires. That is our Feel Good Friday. We love Matt LePay. We love
jerk.
Jesse, too.
What a jerk.
It was a nice thing that he said about him.
Yeah, it was so nice that Jason just can't finish it out. That's Jason.
Enjoy
that's
your weekend.
Ruh-roh.
We gotta go. Bye.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.